Well, I have to say we are literally neighbors now because we just purchased the house next door. So we signed for it on Thursday. This is my wife, Danielle, right here. And we just kind of, we've been moving all around the U.S. doing ministry in the, amongst Native youth. And so that's kind of where our journey, the Lord has led us since Bible college. So we've been kind of doing that. And we kind of were working for a lot of different groups and organizations and consulting with them and helping them in the area of Native youth, because that's probably one of the most neglected ministries in the United States. Well, probably in the world, is that demographic of probably some of the most hurting people that we have in America. Some of the most invisible people are our Native youth. And so the Lord has really pressed the issue with us to really work in that area. And so that's kind of what led us here, because we're kind of working. And, you know, one of the things when I like when David was trying on Saul's armor, it wasn't that he couldn't have used it. It wasn't that necessarily that it was necessarily unworkable for him. It was just something that was unfamiliar to him. For him to be able to operate and do what he was supposed to do, he was coming from the background of a shepherd where he killed the bear and the lion, and he comes from that understanding. And so to come into this and to put on all this gear that he wasn't prepared for, it was a strange thing to him. And I feel like that's kind of how our journey's been. God has put us here and put us there, but he's asked us really to start something that really hasn't been started before. And so we're here in this area, and we're preparing to launch a youth ministry here on the reservation. And so that's just one thing that we have going. The other thing is that we're working with a bunch of individuals to start a discipleship training center in the Black Hills, in the middle of the Black Hills. So we'll be going there this week. While you guys are doing the Impact World Tour, we'll be setting up that ministry over there. And just to take people, you know, how many people that you know in the field I work in is with Native people how are stuck in their life, you know? And sometimes we can get stuck, and it's not that people don't love Jesus, it's just that they're stuck and they don't know how to get out, because a lot of times people have grown up in an environment where it's just very hard to get out of that. And so this would be a 9-month program that would allow people to get some freedom in their life and to launch them into their destiny with God, you know? And so those are just a couple things that we're working on, and that's kind of what's brought us here. And we started an organization called Warrior Circle, and it's a nonprofit ministry organization, and that focuses on ministry to raising up Native leaders. One of the reasons I believe that we have such a lack of Native people that follow Jesus is because we haven't done a good job of installing people that can relate to Native people who are Native people, Native leaders. And so we really feel like that's the area that we're going to focus on. In preparing for this time with you, I just, I've been thinking about a lot of things and asking the Lord, what exactly do you want me to share, you know, today? Because I believe in hearing from God. Do you? I believe that God is not a God that will keep himself a secret. I believe that he is someone that will bring the revelation of himself right to our front doorstep and inside of us. I believe that God has called a church to move with him in revelation, not to move with him in religion. And as we were singing and worshiping, and as Kirk and as Pastor and all the messages came forth, there was messages coming forth from the Lord in that whole sequence of what was happening. And God was drawing us back to the real thing. The real thing. And one thing he said to me is, Joe, hardly anybody talks about my kingdom. You know, Jesus came to bring a revelation of the kingdom. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He didn't come to set up his ministry headquarters somewhere so that people, He didn't come so that people would have safety and security in what they believed, but he came so that he could bring a revelation of God Almighty to a people who are lost and hurting. I like what he says in Luke 17, 20 through 22. It says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Wow. The kingdom is here, and the kingdom is now, and the kingdom has come upon us, and especially those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Because Jesus brought the plan for salvation. And I know a lot of times we focus on the dying of Jesus for us, but there's so much more to it. Because Jesus, when he got alone with this man named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus pulled a secret thing on him because Nicodemus was supposed to be the one who was able to teach everybody about God. And so Jesus reveals in that passage, in John 3, verse 4, he was revealing to them, how do we enter this revelation of the kingdom? How do we enter the kingdom of God? And there is a way that we must enter. And Jesus answers back to him. He says, how can someone be... Nicodemus replied to Jesus, said, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked, surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, in verse 5, John 3, verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus talks about two things here. Unless you are born of the born of water and of the Spirit. We see Jesus came and he made a pattern for this already, because Jesus entered into the womb of the woman. He entered in through birth, and what surrounds us in birth is water. So he was talking. He said, in order for you to enter my kingdom, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. See, Jesus was revealing that when we are born into his kingdom, first of all, it's a sovereign act of God Almighty. It's something that he does. It's something that he does in response to our belief in Jesus. That's why I like John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But do we think of that believing in Jesus as entering the kingdom? Or do we think of believing as a one-time act? And does it stop there? Because Jesus not only brought the revelation of how we enter into the kingdom, and that rebirthing implies something very important that I believe is missing when people preach the gospel. Is that when we enter to be rebirthed, something has to die. Because nothing new can come forth if we're living in the old. And that's what Jesus was saying. He said, there's a divine act of God where he is making this transaction with our lives, where he's bringing something new forth. And it's the sovereign divine Spirit of God that comes in and makes this possible for us. But let me tell you today that that's just the starting point. Because when the kingdom God is planted, it's meant to grow like a tree. That's why I like the Psalms. It says, it's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bears forth its fruit in due season. How many of you have seen a tree that just stays a little tree? You see, Christianity is an adventure. It's a revelation, but it's also an adventure. What they've done with the Bible, they've chopped it up and they've made all these different sciences to interpret it. You got your historical criticism, where they go in and people seek to understand the history of the Bible. That's a great tool to learn. I'm telling you, I come from a scholarly background. That's fine. But then they got all these other criticisms where they chop up the Bible and you know what it becomes down to is a matter of pride because someone says, I got God figured out. But maybe if they would go to the passage that says that his ways are above our ways, his thoughts are above ours. There's a thousand flows of wisdom throughout the creation he laid. We are to enter and to walk in this thing in a matter of awe and wonder and mystery. That's why Jesus said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, become like one of those. Become like a child. Did you ever see a child enter a new room where they haven't been before? Wow. We enter with awe, with wonder. Not figuring with an arrogant pride that we got God figured out or somehow we've attained. That's why I believe later on it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's this whole awe. I like what it says when the description of Jesus here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, starting in verse 15. Listen to this description about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. To behold the creator of the universe. You know what happens when I look out the window? Isn't it amazing that God is not separate from his creation? Isn't it amazing that the very fact that that blade of grass can grow and the wind blows across this whole thing, that God is moving it all? To behold the one in all of his beauty and all of his splendor, to behold him personally is amazing. To behold the creator of the universe in all of his love and all of his glory and all of his splendor is amazing. And he didn't leave us in the dark. So he says, now I want you to enter this way into the kingdom. And when we enter into a time of loss. And Jesus said, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. He also said, you will face many trials and people will hate you because they hated me. This aspect of the kingdom, Jesus is saying, you got to be willing to be lied on. You got to be willing to be cheated. You got to be willing to get to the point where even your reputation doesn't even matter to me, because then you can truly walk in the kingdom. How many have been through something? How many have been discriminated against? How many have been cheated? How many have experienced injustice? Welcome to the kingdom. My friend was talking to me about this idea of entering into this loss that we enter into when we enter into the kingdom. And he was saying, Joe, I was doing ministry for 15 years. Now, this guy is like a modern-day Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, the Lord just uses him in ways during the services and stuff. And he said, the reason I got to this point, he said, is because I did ministry for 15 years and I realized I was miserable. He said, I had no passion anymore. I had no love. He said, I was just doing it because of the mechanics of doing it. And he said, then the Lord took me into a desert place. And when I went into that desert place, he said, somebody died that time. And my friend said, I could truly come alive. He was frustrated with the church. He was frustrated with the way things were going. And he said, the last thing that had to go was my reputation. He said, because I sat there and defended myself. I defended who I was when people would say stuff against me. But he realized that that was part of entering this loss. Loss of self. Jesus doesn't leave anybody or anything half done. But when we enter into this, to the kingdom, and we enter into this loss of ourselves, then we can truly live. When Jesus died on Calvary, he modeled this for us because he was planted in the earth for 3 days like a seed. And on the third day, he broke out of there with unlimited power, defeating death, hell, and the devil. Jesus modeled the loss of self because he was spit upon. He was sinless. He had no reason for anyone to do what they did to him. Now that we have an understanding of what it means to really enter the kingdom of God, then the only response that's acceptable before God is obedience. It's very hard to understand the kingdom and to understand Jesus in a democratic society. It's very difficult because we've been raised and conditioned our whole life to believe that we have rights. So that oftentimes translates over into our spiritual life, and we wonder why we're dying on the inside. We wonder why things aren't going the way that they're going. When Jesus came and he did what he did, he commanded obedience. And not only that, but in the obedience is where the freedom lies with us. In the obedience of walking in the kingdom, you see, because the Bible makes it clear that the world for this time is under the control and influence of the evil one. So when we enter the kingdom, the reason why we face these difficulties Jesus was talking about was because the world is going another direction. And you're going to have things that rub you the wrong way. You're going to have things that grain against you, but there is freedom in the obedience to Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. Some of the aspects of the kingdom that people don't walk in, that I find that bind them up, that have them in the most bondage, are this. As Jesus said, you must forgive as I have forgiven. We have so many people that are walking around with bitterness and unforgiveness. And the Bible says that's the greatest platform for the enemy to come and to camp out in your life. He didn't say forgive because what that person did is acceptable. He didn't say forgive because this or because of that. He called us to forgive as he had forgiven because he paid the price on the cross. And I like that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, when as a believer and we're walking in God's kingdom and we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts, we put ourselves right back into bondage. And I pray with so many people from different backgrounds and different church backgrounds. I pray with deliverance for them. And these are believers who are demonically possessed because they've let bitterness and unforgiveness camp out in their lives. One of the writers of Christianity Today magazine, he was living overseas. His parents were missionary, and he was raped by 8 of his school teachers over there. And he wrote an article about his testimony, and he was receiving hundreds and hundreds of letters from people who had gone through the similar things. And he responded to them. They said, "How did you get so far and where you're going with your life and your ministry and stuff?" And he said, "One revelation came to him, and that was forgiveness." And he said, "By not forgiving, I allowed them 8 people to lock me in a prison in my own mind, and I stayed there until I was able to forgive them." You see, forgiveness is not a feeling, necessarily, although emotion will come along with it. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. And when we do the act of obedience, that's when the power of God is released to take us out of that bondage. What about this? "Bless those who curse you." Oh, man. Kingdom living. It'll put us in the freest place we could ever be. It'll help us experience the glory of God like we've never experienced it before. And Jesus is calling his church back to kingdom living. He's calling us back to focus on the real thing for what the real thing is and to live it and walk it out. There should be no miserable Christians in the world. Because when we enter into this thing, we've beheld and entered the most glorious thing that a man could experience or a woman could experience on this earth. And he's called us to walk in it. So he says, here's what it is. He brought the revelation. Here's how you enter. And here's how you walk in it. And see, I like reading Paul. I like reading all the epistles. But apart from Jesus, so many people have built their theology, their life around all the writings of Paul. And all Paul was doing was he was coming to explain to the churches after Jesus had come what it was all really about. I like to go into where Jesus talked about his kingdom. Talked about what really mattered. And I like to go and read Paul and see how he compliments that and how he comes in. How about this one? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself." Man, we can get that first one real good. I mean, we can love God, we can do all these things, but love your neighbor. Paul comes back and adds on to what Jesus said. He says, "Without love, you are nothing. You're like a clanging cymbal," he said, because the body of church that he was talking about, they were all into the spiritual gifts and the spiritual things, which we need to be also, but he was saying, without love, you're missing it. We were supposed to enter into this covenant around the table in the blood of Jesus and enter into this relationship of love with one another that's forgiving, that's gentle, that's uplifting. Yet so many people are sick because they have not followed what Jesus said in his kingdom. We have so many sick people. And he's asking us to come in, to walk in freedom, to learn from him. So obedience is the only response that we can have. Obedience is the only response that's acceptable to God. When it comes to following, and there's freedom in our obedience. The final thing that I would like to talk about is receiving the provision of the kingdom. Jesus said it in a very simple statement. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you, and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." Jesus came talking in parables because he said, "He who has an ear will hear what the Spirit is trying to tell them." So he's saying, I speak in parables because those who have an ear for it, those who are hungry, those who are wanting, are seeking, that's who I will release the revelation to. The deep things of God will be released to those who are seekers of it. Jesus said to seek first his kingdom. He didn't say, "Seek first my principles." He didn't say, seek first my the teachings of my people. Yes, that's important. I'm not downplaying that. That's the way that God speaks. He ministers to the fivefold ministry gifting. Yes. Seek first my kingdom and righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. He says this in response to worry in this specific passage, and I believe that so many people are controlled by something other than the kingdom. So many people have placed their allegiance in something else other than his kingdom. So many people are wrapped up in comfort and security in something other than the kingdom, and they're in bondage. Because the ultimate reality of everything that we could ever receive, and the ultimate freedom that we could receive, would be to lose total control to Jesus. Because when we take control of our lives and we enter into the control of something, we get the consequences of what that leads in our life. Because when the rug is pulled out from our feet, what will we do? Where will we go? I don't know what my future has for me. I don't know if my wife will always be here, if she'll die at a young age. I don't know where my kids will be. I don't know all these factors going, but I know that I must trust the one who made it all. And I must lose total control, because if that were to ever happen to me, that's the only way I'm going to make it. Jesus wants us to live in that place where he is the one who is the master of everything. And when we don't walk that way, we walk an unbalanced, unhealthy life. And the storms of this life, the waves of this life will come crashing down. You know what Jesus did? He drew himself away from the crowd to be with the Father. He was refreshed, renewed in his walk with the Spirit, because he walked in that way. How do we find new strength? How do we become energized? As we find ourselves alone, away from the crowd, with the Father, so that he can restore us. That's kingdom living. If you've gotten away from it, or if you're not doing it now, now's the time to start. I like even one place that says Jesus went away to a lonely place. Have you found yourself in that lonely place where there's nothing else around you, but the only thing you can do is to look up, to have that relationship, that freshness where God can speak to you and move you along? Seek first his kingdom. You know, I find that we have a lot of difficulties when we seek to control our life. We've talked to many people over the years, you know, and one major thing that comes up in a marriage relationship is that one couple or the other has an idea of what a marriage should be. Either because they've seen that something modeled, and that becomes the fixture. That becomes the blueprint of what they think is normal. So then everything, when that doesn't happen, then everything else falls apart. When Jesus said, die! Die! And the devil's saying, live the old life! And Jesus is saying, die! Die to everything that you thought life was, so that you can live. Die to the old pride of what you thought and expected for your life. One person said this. Says you don't come to Jesus with a whole list of expectations and then ask him to sign the bottom, but you give him a blank sheet of paper and say, here, take my life, do what you will with it, die, so that you can live. That's kingdom living. And anytime we get that out of balance, will pay for the consequence of it. But there's freedom in obedience. To saying, God, I need a makeover. I need you to come in and I need you to take all those things that I thought were something in my life. And I want you to lay a new foundation. I want you to put some new blocks down. And I want you to build it, my life. That's the gospel. That's how we enter. That's how we walk. And that's how we must live from day to day with Jesus. That's what he was calling us to. Because it's not just a one-time occurrence where Jesus died on the cross and we come down and we accept him into our life and then things go, life is usual. No, we're called to walk in his kingdom. It was a revelation that was brought. We're called to enter it and we're called to live in it the way that he's ordained for us to live in it. So, Father, I just come before you and I just give you thanks and praise. Lord, we're here, Lord, because we love you, because we want to follow you. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for bringing your kingdom here to us so that we could follow you, we could live with you. And Lord God, I just pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters as we walk this journey together. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that if there's any peace that's been out of balance, Lord, Lord, that today, that thing would be made right. And Lord God, that you would renew us, refocus our minds to what it's really about, to walking with you. Thank you that you're here with us, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've moved upon us and are moving upon us even now. And as we respond to you with obedience, Lord, that we would not stop in this moment of where we are, but we would continue to grow in you. We continue to walk this life no matter what comes, no matter who says something against us, no matter what's done against us, no matter what's been done against us, Lord, let forgiveness flow from your throne today, Lord, I pray. As I believe there are one or two here that have not forgiven even the worst offense against them, but when they do, Lord, you said you would bring, Lord, your resolve. And that freedom can truly come when we just take that step of obedience to walk in your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that your word, Lord, would explode like a time bomb in our heart. That it would just take us deeper than we've ever gone before. That it would take us closer than we've ever been. That we would truly encounter your resurrection power in our lives, that we would truly encounter the freshness of that relationship that you've given freely to us, that we would truly walk with you. Thank you for your love for us this day. Thank you, Lord God, that you've directed all the love in the universe to us, Lord, to reconcile us to you, to bring us into you. Lord, and we just thank you and we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.